Yo.
Yo, what's the deal, man?
What's the deal? What's happening? What's going on? It is episode 57 of the Mid Carters and Catering Podcast. It is your boy. It is AJ here with Aunt P.
What's the deal?
Aunt, what's going on?
Man, tired.
Handiwork over there, some shit real quick.
Yeah, I was trying to fix something over there, man, but I'm about to buy another thing. No, I had my job Christmas party yesterday, man, and that shit was wild, man. Everybody was fucking drunk. I'll say that much.
Well, that's usually how it goes with company. This company Christmas party, I'm assuming.
Yeah, open bar all night. I had a bottle of white Hennessy anyway, so it was just and motherfuckers. I was walking around that bitch looking like a mob boss or some shit. So
definitely time to show out. Definitely time to show out for sure. Yeah, it's been a minute since we had, like, took the last week off because we had we're trying to get prepared for the year end episode, you know what I'm saying, which is next week. And trying to get those things prepped together. We had up we threw up an episode of Turner Truthers. I think it was Slamboree 2000. Threw up an episode.
It was Slamboree, man. Jesus Christ.
Yeah. David Arquette, Slamboree. That is correct, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah, we was able to throw that up. Gabby is not here with us right now. She's a bit under the weather, so definitely sending well wishes to Gabby. You know, feel better soon.
Definitely.
It's been one of those weeks. You know, it's holiday season. As always, man, my this week primarily has probably been focused on, like, my mental health for sure. I've been going through the ringer this week, but, you know, trying to make my way out, maybe climb from under, you know what I'm saying, and keep it going. But I couldn't not let that affect, you know what I'm saying, like, the podcast, and you know, I definitely want to be here today, because not only are we back with a new one, we're getting ready to show y'all, you know, hit y'all with a whole heap of content. Yep. We have a guest. We have a very special guest in the building with us this evening. He's coming from the Oddball Podcast, and also one half of the illustrious Wrestle Rap Podcast. We have none other than Vin Fort. What's up, Vin?
Oh my God, what's going on? What's
going on, man?
How you guys doing?
Hey, you're doing good. Hey, but hold on. I gotta give you your applause. You know what I'm saying? This is what we do. You know what I'm saying? Also have to throw a little horns in there. Dom the Marco. Vin is in the house, man. Vin is in the house.
Man, it's a pleasure to be here.
I appreciate that, man.
Yeah, definitely appreciate you coming on, for sure. Vin, you know, I've been wanting to get you on here for quite some time and everything like that. And I know you're very busy, you know what I'm saying?
No, all you had to do was ask.
Handling two different podcasts. Oddball Podcast, for sure. I've been checking it out lately and everything, and it's been, like, really, really dope. So pretty much your concept, I want to say, is sports focused on the Oddball Podcast.
Yeah, I would say so. Very basketball heavy, but very light. Like, okay. I think one of the things I want to do is, I don't like the seriousness that comes with a lot of sports talk right now, especially, like, being someone who's very on, like, NBA Twitter and wrestling Twitter and social media. It's garbage. It's a shit fest a lot of the time. And I think we kind of all need to step back and be like, this is a little ridiculous. Yeah. And when a big issue comes along, I like to tackle it from a lot of different angles by myself. And then also sort of undercut everything with, like, usually once or twice an episode, I'll pick, like, either something very light or something sort of goofy from sports past, or something food related that's ridiculous. That just to sort of undercut everything. Like recently, I did a whole segment on Shaq and Hakeem Olajuwon back in the 90s, partnered with Taco Bell to do like a rematch from the finals. And that fell through, but there was going to be a whole thing. Donald Trump was involved. He was going to be at the Taj Mahal. And then David Stern, as David Stern does, came in at the last second, like that weekend, and like put the stomp on the whole thing. It was like, nah, we're not doing a basketball related event outside of the NBA with these two guys.
Oh wow. Was it like gonna be like on the lines of like a pay-per-view type?
Oh, it was gonna be, it was a pay-per-view. There were ads for it. You can go look up the ads. Yeah. Like Taco Bell was the main sponsor. And they were running a bunch of Taco Bell ads for it. And it was going to be a live pay-per-view, one-on-one basketball game at the Taj Mahal.
Wow.
I don't know what the undercard was going to be for something like that, or if it was just going to be like one event, like, okay, we're going to watch 40 minutes of them doing one-on-one. Like, I don't know what the details were going to be, and we'll sadly never know.
Yeah, it looks like, and it's interesting knowing like how like the future between Kareem and Shaq was before. You know what I'm saying? Like, I wonder like if Kareem might have said anything like, "Nah, hell no," nah. Or maybe he bowed out last minute. I don't know. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't want to give away like a lot of the podcast. You know, a lot of your podcast episode that you covered and everything.
No, I don't know if Hakeem had anything to do with. I think it was all just David Stern.
Yeah, sound like David Stern for sure.
That's definitely a David Stern move for sure. Yeah, like I definitely like dig the Oddball podcast a lot because like you had like one of my favorite YouTube channels. You did an episode.
Secret Base?
Yeah, Secret Base, man. I'm so like addicted to that channel.
Yes, yeah, it's Seth Rosenthal from Secret Base. Yeah, he's been on a couple times. This was the first time since I've been doing video, which was very cool because we tackled the series they did, the 3-part series on Shaq and Kobe.
Yeah, real good series too.
Yeah.
Real good series. Matter of fact, it got me to actually like read the book. I think it was Three Ring Circus.
Yeah. The Jeff Perlman book.
Yeah, it got me to like read that book to try to like really like go in depth. Cause I'm a Lakers fan. So it's a whole lot of things I didn't know about like their entire beef during that three-peat run. Like I didn't know like exactly how early that whole beef between them two started, you know what I'm saying, in terms of Shaq and Kobe. You know, that whole time they were winning, I thought everything was like copacetic or whatever. And then it wasn't until they lost to the Pistons where that was around that time is when they had that falling out and everything like that.
Yeah.
But there was a whole lot I didn't learn. I mean, I was about 13 years old at the time. So, you know, I didn't understand all the drama and everything of that nature, but really, really cool. So, outside of the Oddball podcast, you also are involved with WrestleRap.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, how exactly did that come to be?
Well, that was just, I've known Emilio Sparks, who does WrestleRap, for about 15 years now. We went to college together. Worked at the college radio station together. He did a hip-hop show for years from like, like 11 to 2 in the morning, like 10 to 2 in the morning, something like that. So he would be in there like real late nights, and he would have like a lot of New York rappers come in, a lot of Staten Island guys, a lot of Wu-Tang members. I remember I stayed one night, night he had Redman come in. That was really fun. Hanging out with Redman it's something else. He came and all I remember is he came and he had this like gigantic Ziploc bag full of weed.
Sound about right.
That he was just showing off to everyone.
Sound about right.
He was like, he was just really proud of it. Like Emilio had a friend of ours, this guy who shoots photos. He kept going up to like, get a picture of this. Like, show off the goods. And he's like showing off this giant bag of weed. And I remember that night because Redman had this idea that he had pitched where he was trying to get a radio station off the ground at the time. And he had mentioned that he had like other plays. This is around the time he wanted to do like How High 2. he had an app in the works or something back when apps were like in their infancy. I don't know if any of these projects ever got off the ground, but the one that sticks out to me is he wanted to do a radio station where they played hip hop songs and then also the songs that those songs sampled. Because he wanted to have a radio station that like taught a younger generation about sampling and like where these songs came from.
Yeah.
But as far as Emilio is concerned, yeah, like I met him back then. We stayed friends. We worked on a couple projects together, including like a website in the early 2010s. We've both been podcasting for about 10 years when I joined WrestleRap. Basically, he had been doing it with Kaz. Shout out to Kazim Famuide, who a lot of your listeners may know from, he's done a lot of work with WWE. He's done a little work of AEW. He has a bunch of different podcasts, Say Less with Kaz. He's got, the stuff he does for, like Sportsbet or whatever it is, the Count It podcast, which is his basketball pod. He's done stuff with the Knicks before and MSG, MSGPM. Like, Kaz is all over the place. Like,
he's fantastic.
But him and Emilio started WrestleRap. Then Kaz left. It was Emilio for a little bit. And then I joined right before, I think, like, around episode, like, 90 or something like that. And now we're up to, I've been on ever since. In fact, in the beginning, I took over for Emilio because he had gotten a job at the WWE.
I remember.
And he couldn't do the podcast. So he was like, he slipped me in as like the person who was going to fill in for him indefinitely until he decided he wanted to come back. So there was like a stretch for like half a year where it was just me doing it. And then Emilio came back and then it was me and Emilio, and it stayed me and Emilio basically since like probably the early days of the pandemic, like since 2020.
Oh, okay. Nice. So we were originally from New York.
Yeah, we're both from Staten Island.
Oh, he's from Staten Island. Okay, so I assume that you're a Knicks fan.
No, I hate the Knicks. I'm a Nets fan.
Oh, he's a Nets. He's a Nets guy. Okay. I was almost hit the horns. But, but you know. We got a Knicks fan, a Pistons fan, a Lakers fan.
I don't want to talk about them Pistons, man. That's
yeah, I wouldn't want to
talk about nobody's them getting that free wing stop.
No free wing stop tonight.
Mm-mm, definitely not tonight, man. There's no way that's happening. They're getting their ass whooped. So, yeah.
So being from New York and everything like that, and like just, everything, your involvement that in pro wrestling, like we always like to say with our guests, is that everybody kind of has a story when it comes to this. And we always have to ask this question to pretty much anyone who comes in here. And it is, what was or who was the first pro wrestler or pro wrestling event or something that got little Vin to say, wow, I like this. This is fucking cool.
Yeah, I think if there was like a singular match or pay-per-view that I always go back to, it's probably WrestleMania 10.
Okay.
Like, I have very vivid memories of watching that Intercontinental Ladder match.
Yeah. And Shawn and Razor.
Yeah, Razor. And it's just blowing me the fuck away. Like, and it's proof. Like, you can go back and watch that match today and it still holds up. It's not like.
Oh, shit.
It's like, I don't really see what the big deal is now, but I understand why it was a big deal then. It's like, no, I could watch that match today. I could watch that match 10 years from now, 50 years from now, it'll still hold up. Because it tells a great story. I think that more than anything has informed how I view wrestling. Like, a lot of the criticism I have with AEW right now, and that I had with WWE a couple of years ago, is that a lot of times people will get caught up in the in-ring work. And to me, it's like the in-ring work is great. Like, in-ring work in 2023 is dazzling. Like, there's no shortage of amazing wrestlers. Now, what are you going to do to actually sell me on them? Like, everyone can work.
Yeah.
There's a million fucking wrestlers that can go out and give you a 5-star match. But what makes it like a true five-star match for me is, can you get me invested in the story? What are you going to make me, what are you going to do to get me invested in whether or not this person actually wins this fucking match? Because if you can't do that, then I'm out.
Yeah.
And I think that's a big problem that AEW has right now. And again, to be fair, like we've been knocking AEW recently on WrestleRap, and people have come out of the woodwork and been like, oh, well, why you got shit on AEW? Like, this is just because, you know, Emilio worked at WWE, so you're WWE guys. But like, 2 years ago, I was the one coming on the pod every week going, I don't watch WWE unless they give me a reason to. So, like, you can't have it both ways. Like, sometimes, like, it's peaks and valleys. Like, AEW had a really great run for a couple of years, and now they're in a weird position where they have to, like, figure out what the fuck they're doing. And are they going to get there? I don't know. I hope they do. I'm not hoping they don't.
Yeah.
But WWE was in the same exact position, if not worse, like, 3-4 years ago, when they were doing, like, the wild card rule and the 24/7 title. Like, those were dark fucking times for WWE, because that was peak like Vince McMahon meddling and like making the call, right, you know, throwing all the times you would hear that he's like ripping up scripts before the show and like doing things on the fly while the show is going on. Like, that's not stuff you want, and it showed in the product. So like, you know, WWE and AEW are at their best when they're telling a story. For recent, I'll give you an example for both companies recently. For WWE, it's the Bloodline and the Sammy stuff recently.
Yeah.
You can't get any better than, like, that 3-pay-per-view run of Elimination Chamber, WrestleMania, and Backlash in Puerto Rico is almost undefeated. You can't name another time where there's been as loud a crowd for a 3 pay-per-view run.
Yeah.
You can't. Like, you think you would, but I've gone back and actually thought about it. It may exist. I haven't come up with the example yet. Maybe in the Attitude Era. But, like, the only thing I can think of is, like, the No Way Out going into WrestleMania 17.
Yeah.
But, like, other than that, not so much. But the reason that worked is because of Sami Zayn, because of the Bloodline, because these were characters. Every time you would get to their segment on SmackDown, everyone would shut the fuck up. Mm-hmm. Because it's like, oh, hold on, we gotta see this.
Yeah.
Like, we gotta see what's going on. And same thing with AEW when they did, I think the best feud they've ever done in AEW so far was the Kenny Hangman feud.
Love it.
And The only problem with that feud is that Hangman, I don't think, was a great champion. I think the moment was great of him getting over on Kenny and, you know, him finally winning it. But then, like, the actual run wasn't that spectacular.
It's like, could he be the man? You know what I'm saying? Like, he had a hard time being the man. You know, a hard time selling being the man, so to speak.
Yeah, and again, like you see in AEW right now, when you don't, you know, they're having this Continental Classic, and it's great, the matches are great, and there's certainly, like, some good stories that are probably going to come out of it, but, you know, you look at the women's division, and if your name's not Toni Storm right now, they don't really have anything for you.
Right.
And it's funny, because when they had Jade doing her long run, someone like Nyla Rose had a lot of personality and gave Jade one of her best feuds, because Nyla Rose had done that thing where she stole the belt and was using social media a lot and, like, going around, like, showing off that she stole the belt and she could be very funny.
Yeah, trying to make it interesting. Yeah.
Trying to make it interesting. But then they never capitalized on it. Like, okay, then she, you know, she loses to Jade, and then, like, we haven't really seen, she's popped up, but, like, we haven't really seen a big program with her since. I don't quite understand that. It's kind of like what they, like, it's like, I don't understand what they did with Keith Lee recently. Like, regardless of what people may think of Keith Lee, like, you have him fight Samoa Joe for the title, the Ring of Honor TV title, and then you have Samoa Joe fucking choke him out in the middle of the ring clean, only to just give up the title immediately after the match. Like, it doesn't make any fucking sense. It
made no sense at all. Made no so it was just like it just became vacated at that point.
And yeah, he just vacated. He's like, oh, I'm gonna go on to bigger and better things. Which I that's another reason I don't like when people vacate secondary titles, because you're supposed to make that title. Mm-hmm. This is supposed to be you going, you know what, this isn't the top title, but this is a championship title, and this is my title. Yeah. I'm gonna make it the most important title to me.
Like, and imagine. Imagine Gunther just doing it, like.
Yeah, like imagine exactly, like imagine Gunther being like, you know what? I've had this title for 500 days or whatever. I'm getting a little sick of it. I want to go for bigger fish. Someone else take this over, and you'll have a tournament to get it. Like, you wouldn't fly. You'd be like, what was that for?
And it's fucked up because the ROH TV title has so much prestige to it, you know.
Yeah.
And it just diminished it by like, yeah, fuck this shit. You know, here, y'all deal with it. I want the AEW world title. That's fucked up.
Yeah, and then some AEW fans will come out and be like, well, you know, what would you have had them do with it? I don't know, not that. I don't get paid to book the fucking show. So right. I can only judge it based on what they did.
Yeah, and it's like, I mean, they don't, it's already enough they diminish that title. They already diminished ROH as an entirety altogether. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's not like to be special in the first place, you know, which is already a fucked up situation.
Well, this is another big critique of AEW right now, which is I feel like Tony Khan specifically plays this game where he's waiting for the right moment to pull the trigger on certain things.
Yep.
Instead of just having a plan B and just rolling with it. And there's three examples of that. One is Jade. When, you know, they kept the belt on Jade a little too long because he wanted to wait for Chris Statlander to come back.
Mm-hmm.
So, and a lot of people felt that it was like too little too late by the time she took the belt off her. Yeah. Then you have the example of Ring of Honor just in general, where it came out that they probably could have gotten on CW, but he was like, well, no, I'm going to hold out for the HBO Max.
Technical difficulties, but
yeah, Van just broke up a little bit there.
Yeah,
he's making a good point here. I just
the CW deal, man. Oh my god,
dog. Yeah, it's nasty. It's real nasty. Like with like how they just pretty much just fumbled that, because you know everybody knows now that WWE capitalized on that. So now NXT is going to CW now. So that just shut the door on any type of potential for AEW to make a move over there too. And, you know, and when we get to the newsworthy things, hopefully we get Vin back in a second.
Mm-hmm.
We get over to the newsworthy things. There are some things to talk about in terms of television rights, television rights incoming in terms of WWE going forth in the future, some of which Tony may need to be a little alarmed about soon. So
yeah, I
don't know about that.
And we're good to go.
Good to go.
All right. It still says paused.
Oh, what the hell? Well, that's strange. Oh, I think it's good now.
Now
it's a counter. The counter's going now. Technical difficulties.
It happens.
Speaking of difficulties, going back to AEW, they, you know, even with their Ring of Honor deal, they could have gone on the CW, but he wanted to hold out and wait for the perfect opportunity with HBO Max. Now it's funny that, you know, it's coming out this week that maybe allegedly Raw is in talks with Max. Maybe doing something with Warner Discovery. So I don't know what that's going to mean for AEW. If they somehow get kicked off. I mean, I get both sides of it because Warner Discovery just invested in, you know, a whole new show on Saturday nights. And doesn't seem like they're getting investment at, you know, the correct investment out of it. It's not that it's pulling like god awful numbers for Saturday night, but I also thought that Warner Discovery would have integrated AEW into their streaming a little sooner. I'm a little surprised that they haven't up to this point. That's not something that, you know, you can get Max and watch, you know, last night's Dynamite or Collision. And I feel like that would play really well for the kind of audience that also, you know, pays $9.99 a month for Peacock just to get WWE.
And I think that's a perfect segue to say,
I'm afraid I've got some bad news.
Uh-oh.
Perfect timing that Ben brought up the WBD and WWE meeting. Because, yes, that is true. That so to speak, that Hunter and Nick Khan have been shopping WWE all, because we all know already SmackDown has a deal. NXT has their deal. You know, SmackDown is going to USA in October of next year. And NXT is going to CW around the same time. So all that's left is WWE. I mean, I'm sorry. All that's left is WWE Raw.
Right.
Interesting that Vin brings that up, you know, in terms of like AEW's issues, because I mean, let's keep it real. I mean, they did report some revenues about like 180 million, I think, but they're still running at a loss, because on the front end of that, 85 million of that, actually it was less than 180 million. I'm sorry. It was like maybe 130 million, but $85 million of that is going towards talent alone. And the rest I have to assume is overhead, and also overhead that Tony probably is also coming out of his own pocket with that at the same time. They're not making gate. That's obvious. We see those empty seats in those arenas. They're not filling out arenas. Last time they had a somewhat nice size attendance, and that was all in, and that was back in August, the beginning of August.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just been down ever since, especially after CM Punk was fired. And you're not making gate. Your numbers in terms of viewership is staggered. Like, they haven't even been able to hit the 900,000 mark. I mean, Dynamite alone has been literally within that 800,000 to 700,000 mark. They lost to NXT not too long ago on that Tuesday head-to-head. And I mean, we don't even have to bring up Rampage. And then when we look at Saturday Collision, I mean, come on. Like, if there wasn't even a worse time for Saturday Collision to happen, it's definitely during college football season. And then you take Saturday Collision and you try to go head-to-head against WWE PLEs, which also take place on Saturday. So it's really not making a good case for WBD in terms of TV deal selling with AEW right now, if you ask me. Like, I don't think that that's making a good case.
Yeah, it's weird. I mean, again, they're in a very peculiar spot. Like, you've got all this TV time and all these stars they need to push. And they're constantly adding new stars, so that takes TV time away from people who they maybe hired several months before. So it's this weird cycle of, you know, okay, we keep growing, and in that sense, like, that's great. But the more we grow, the more TV time we have to fill, the more people we feel like we have to acquire, which is going to push more people down the card, which is going to sort of poison or sour the locker room in some respects. And it makes me feel like this company maybe, you know, started to run before they learned how to walk.
That
they had 2 hours. It used to be, and we're not even including the dark stuff on YouTube, which they eventually got rid of, but they used to be, the essential stuff was 2 hours a week, 2 hours on Wednesdays. So what that did is that made sure that you had to know what are the like 5 to 8 things that we need to show you.
Uh-oh.
Oh, man.
Did we lose Van again?
This Verizon. Yeah, there we go.
Oh, no, Van's there.
Yeah.
Oh, there he is.
And sorry, then you man. Add, no, and then you add a show on Friday nights. You add 2 hours on Saturday night. And now all of a sudden you go from a very lean, sort of easy to, you know, easy barrier to entry for new wrestling fans with just a 2 hour show on Wednesdays that's going to show you the best of what this company has to offer, to now we got to find spots for everyone. And we're always adding new people, so we got to find spots for them as well. People that aren't as new, but are still fairly new because we acquired them, you know, a little while ago. And it's kind of a mess.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, definitely. Like, because you got to think about it, like, going back to, like, if you want to go back to Raw and Nitro days, you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't always like to reference the Attitude Era or anything like that, but it's just, like, Raw was on television for so long by itself. You know what I'm saying? Like, because in the logical sense, you want to set a base. You know what I'm saying? Like, you want to set a base. Like, you want to set a base, and then you want to allow that base to grow into, like, loyalty, to loyal viewers, loyal viewership. And you want to do that. You want to build that over time. And no matter if you were WWE Raw or if you were WCW Nitro, you still want to build off of that. And it took, like, SmackDown didn't start until 1999. And by that time, you had a bona fide star with The Rock.
Mm-hmm.
Because you built that show based upon it being The Rock show.
Right.
And you did that after, and I want to say Raw debuted in 93?
It was around that time.
92, 93? Yeah, so yeah, you at least let a six-year window happen before you even thought about bringing in the second show. Like, with Tony, Rampage legit, like, it was within a year or two, you know what I'm saying? Plus, like, and nobody was watching Rampage because we still weren't taking AEW seriously like that still, because at the end of the day, it was still looked upon as, oh, this is just a show that's just, they're just shitting on, trying to shit on WWE, calling themselves an alternative at the time. It wasn't until literally they got CM Punk, Danielson and Adam Cole in to where it was like, oh shit, maybe we need to pay a little attention here. Okay, cool. But even with that, you still have to use that time to build a base on Dynamite without thinking about a second show. Let that breathe for a minute to get millions of eyes on Dynamite by itself, and then we talk about secondary shows after you at least are successful with that over a couple of years. It's like you were saying, Vin, they started walking before they can crawl.
I think one of the biggest things, too, was he was just trying. It's a couple of things. When Vin said they're running before they learn how to walk, great analogy, because the video game, prime example.
Yeah.
How that went.
Another yeah. piece of overhead.
Yeah, that's kind of got them in the red right now, you know, just off of that. You know what I'm saying? You put out a product that was decent, you know, but people didn't really go back to play it. It was just whatever. And another thing, too, why he kept doing these shows was he was trying to make everybody happy because, you know, people were complaining they wasn't getting TV time and all of other stuff. So he's like, all right, I created Rampage for you guys so you can wrestle on here, get your guys some TV time and all that. And it was just giving people TV time that didn't need TV time, if you want to be perfectly honest.
Yeah. And it's just like, and if you want to build your way, and the thing is, and it goes the same in WWE, if you want TV time, you're going to have to show me how you can, like, you got to, whenever you out there, you got to make it, you got to show me everything you got to deserve that time.
And another thing too, is they were so busy trying to be competition for WWE.
Yes.
When they just never should have, they just focused on running their own race in their own lane, just
building their own identity, building their own product,
building their stars. That's one of the things that I feel like that really handicapped and like cut them off at the legs, was trying to do that, just trying to step up, you know, and just listening to these fans, let them like, you know, you can compete with them. All this, you just that just being too online. Tony Khan is way too online to be. He just looks at everything. He looked like, oh, okay. These people think we can go to war with them. Let's go to war with them. And then just now look.
And the thing is, in between all of that, the only casualties of that war has been the talent that has left AEW since saying that. You know what I'm saying? Like, so, you know, I got to ask Vin, you know what I'm saying? I know we got news and stuff like that, but we having a really good conversation here. And so in terms of like talents that have left, I mean, of course, talk of the town has been CM Punk. And, you know, what is your take on this whole thing with CM Punk?
I think that the only way CM Punk makes this a successful WWE return is if he goes into one mode and one mode only. I was talking WrestleRap, and I'm glad it seems to be coming to fruition. And that is if he becomes Company Man Punk. If he starts going out there and saying, I love WWE, I'm home, which he's been saying, and he's really been playing it up like, oh, you know, when he made that crack about Kevin Owens, like, oh, we can't, you'll be going around the back punching people in the face. Like, it's 2023. We just can't be doing that. Which that's a whole other thing that the crowd didn't pop for that, which goes to show that not everyone in the crowd is online or as online as people would assume.
Or may not care.
Yeah, or just don't care.
Yeah.
But as far as CM Punk goes, like, he's kind of got to play the part that he created for himself. He's got to be the villain, and he's got to play it as like the corporate villain, where he's coming back to WWE, and he's loving it. Yeah, he's doing it for the money, but who isn't doing their job for the money? Like, he's there. He wants to get into NXT now. He you know, wants to train people. He's like, it's been like 3 weeks. He's like all in on the WWE process already. Yeah. And you know what? Maybe he genuinely is. Like, that is definitely an option. That he genuinely sees that the grass maybe he thought was greener on the outside. But that, you know, maybe he really does feel like he's home after seeing that, you know, Vince isn't there anymore. There's a whole other, you know, parent company running WWE at this point. Triple H is probably a different person. You know, Punk is probably in a different place. And, you know, we've made a lot of cracks about CM Punk on WrestleRap, but I think look at that. Where's this picture?
Yeah, like, look at
male
this.
NXT talent.
Look, I mean, look at that. Like, him right here with Cora Jade and
Roxanne.
And Roxanne Perez. Yeah. Like, he said it's daddy daughter day at work here.
Yeah, daddy daughter day. Wow.
At work. Like, this is, it's almost like, it's just like what you were saying. Like, he has to become that Company Man Punk. Which he is being, you know what I'm saying? Honestly, it's showing a lot of, this is kind of like what he really truly wanted to do in AEW. Like, he wanted to like really ingrain himself with the younger talent and like help them elevate and help them out and to get them to, you know, somewhat look up to him in a sense, but it just didn't work that way. You know what I'm saying? Over in AEW, I think a lot of egos clashed in the mix. There were some who absolutely did want to like get with Punk and everything like that. I just think that it was just too late. Like, Ricky Starks is, for example, he's one of those people that really, really wanted to work with Punk, really wanted to get with Punk. Oh, we lost Vin again. Wanted to get with Punk, wanted to really like, see, you know, get some gems, get some jewels from Punk and everything like that. But I mean, you looking at him right now, like, he's completely energized. He looks different. He looks in shape.
Yeah, I was about to say that. He looks in shape like a motherfucker. Like, yeah.
He looks in shape. I think really one of the things about his return back to WWE in a sense, it's that it's not the same company that he left in 2014.
It's a much friendlier place.
Yeah, it's not the same company that he left behind. Like, he walked in, it's completely different now. You know, I think EVNC is even run differently. And of course, you can somewhat kind of attribute that to Hunter running the show now, but it was also kind of shifting that way anyway later on with Vince, in a sense. You know what I'm saying? Like, especially like when Cody returned back to company, I think that's really when the true shift began in terms of the change of the company.
Well, I also think that, again, he went to AEW and thought that it was going to be a professionally run organization,
yeah,
for lack of a better way of putting it. But when you've got the Young Bucks as the EVPs,
that's a problem.
That's a big problem.
Yeah,
because they're not EVPs. They're not corporate guys. Like, if you want to give them that as a title, great. But, you know, there's a lot that should come of that. Mm-hmm. And I personally don't think they're mature enough to handle that. And we saw that with the Punk situation. Yeah. Because when Punk left the second time, these guys who refused to show up on Collision, despite the fact that it's their company and they're two of the biggest stars in the company and could probably help that brand, you know, make a name for itself.
Mm-hmm.
They show up after a show and do a fucking victory lap in the ring after Punk leaves. You're the EVPs of the company and you're basically telling people, hey, yeah, our biggest star just left. Like, hooray. It's like, no, you're fucked.
It's like that. They
like want you're in a bad position. Themselves. You should care a little bit more about your own fucking company.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a plaything to them. They don't really care about the if it's being successful or not. They just want to have attention on themselves. You know, as you can tell, the crowd don't even care about the Young Bucks. They're like X-Pac go away heat right now. They're like, whatever. You know, yeah. You don't see, yeah, you've seen the same
stuff. Yeah, like that. Like, even going back to like the first, you know, after Brawl Out, when. Because, you know, the Elite came back to work first and they had that silly ass match where they were over there basically mocking Punk, you know. So Kenny 100% was, you know what I'm saying, like he was like front and center, like doing the GTS and then doing a botch buckshot lariat that Punk didn't get off and everything like that. And doing the ace steel bite, arm bite and all that. Yeah. It's just, like, come on, guys, like – y'all are executive vice presidents of this company. Y'all acting like fucking kids over this. Like, it's a joke. Like, how even me as a viewer supposed to take you guys seriously? And you got asses kicked.
And you got your asses kicked. And not for nothing, but even in the Brawl Out, scrum, when CM Punk is sitting next to Tony Khan and he's going off about, like, you know, this place is run by fucking children, like, you know, all that goofy fuckhead Hangman Page or whatever. Tony Khan's just sitting there letting them go off.
Yeah.
If I'm running that company, that shit ain't happening.
No, not at all.
I'm cutting that off right at the pass. I'm taking the mic from him. I don't care if we have to call to work later on. Like, I'm cutting this off before it gets any worse.
That's because Tony Khan was always trying to be friendly. He wants to be friends with these guys. He want to be like the bros. That's why he be letting this happen.
And he's you a know, fan.
He's a fan. This wouldn't have happened under Vince. It's not going to happen under Triple H. Stuff like that is not going to happen under them two at all. Like, it's just, they don't fear Tony Khan. Like, you have wrestlers. You have
Jericho said it. Jericho said it himself that, like, people, you know, didn't necessarily fear the people in charge. And look, not that you have to walk around work fearing your bosses all the time.
But there has to be a certain level of respect.
There has to be a certain level of respect. You can't just give the impression. It's like, you know, everyone always has those one or two teachers, you know, throughout your time in school where it seems like, oh, this is a jackpot. Like, this teacher's so nice. They don't give any homework. Like, but then someone, like, halfway through the year fucks it up for everyone because, like, you'll be doing a lesson and teacher will realize, oh, wait a minute, nobody did the homework. Mm-hmm. Nobody did the homework. What do I look like? You guys fucking walk all over me and you see them snap.
Yeah.
And it, all of a sudden, yeah,
then
like,
they all had to fail the whole class right there on that test.
Yeah, then it's like, then the whole class realizes, like, oh shit, we've mistaken their kindness for weakness. Mm-hmm. And Tony Khan, like, doesn't seem like he ever really had that moment where he put the hammer down. It was like, listen, I'm very nice to you guys. Like, I'm giving you guys a lot of rope here, but don't fucking hang yourself with it. Like, because really, I will come down on you.
He need like an authority figure, like somebody they have to answer to.
And get a real fucking HR rep. Why is like Brian Danielson being the hall monitor?
Yeah, that's crazy. That right there is crazy enough.
You may trust Brian Danielson. He may be like, you know, your closest confidant or like the most trustworthy person in the locker room. It shouldn't be anyone in the locker room.
Yeah. And Danielson doesn't even hold like a ranking, like a corporate ranking within the company as a whole anyway. You know what I'm saying? So a lot of people want to say, well, isn't a lot of people involved in creative? Ain't there a lot of people doing this and doing that? It's just like the Punk move was not a creative decision. That was literally a HR, a human resources situation. Yeah. So for someone like Danielson to be involved in that, like, that's some bullshit, bro. Like, that looks like
insane.
Yeah, that looks like some police hall monitoring type shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, when I heard that, I instantly called Danielson a cop. I said, oh, so he's a cop.
Yeah, like, don't you have an HR team? Like, have the HR team do an investigation. Like, if you want, like, now it'd be one thing if they said, well, you know, we interviewed a bunch of wrestlers and, you know, Danielson was in the interview process or whatever. But it seems like he, like, had a vote in whether or not, you know, they fired Punk.
Yeah.
Which people were saying, oh, well, you know, Tony Khan had the final say. I don't care who had the final say. Like, why was Danielson in a meeting that determined, like, what the recommendation was going
to
be?
It don't even look like he had the final say, to be honest with you. He just like, oh.
No, it looked like his hand was forced. Yeah. That's what it looked like. Because in the grand scheme of things, Tony didn't want to fire Punk.
He doesn't want to fire anybody. Like, there's
no, he's the one who brought, he's the one who brought Punk back.
Yeah. Yeah. Like you don't, you like what Van was saying, like, yes, it is perfectly normal to have personality, like, interviews with other talent. Like, hey, has he ever been threatening? Like, they do this at regular jobs. Like, they'll say, like, whenever a situation, and they do it in confidentiality too. That stuff doesn't leak out. So that also further lets you know that not only are they, you know, you got this person involved in this situation, he's also somehow talking to somebody and giving information to these damn journalists.
Well, the place is leaking like a sieve right now.
Yeah, it's leaking like...
He's got to put his foot down, like plain simple. He's got to come out, have like an all-hands meeting, and be like, listen, I don't like the way things are being done right now. The buck stops with me. If I find out anyone's been leaking to Meltzer, leaking to Sean Ross Sapp, anybody, you're done. Like, no questions. Like, we're just a goodbye.
Yeah.
There's definitely a couple of people that need to be gone. I know that's leaking a lot of information over there.
I mean,
I'm not going to say their name.
We just talked about a few.
Yeah. But there's another one too that wasn't mentioned. I'm not gonna mention his name, but we know. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Of course. But you know, I mean, while we on AEW, and this is the other problem that I be having when AEW again takes losses, you get people like Chris Jericho, for example. Like, this attitude of when AEW's back is against the wall, this rally the troops performance they always put on, it's so annoying. And like, it's Chris Jericho is always at the lead of this shit every single time. Like, he, like, when it came down to criticisms about them having an identity crisis, and I don't understand why at this point it's not registering, because if I'm saying it, Ant saying it, Vin saying it, and millions of other people outside of us are saying the same thing, then something must be true, because we're not all crazy. To say, and he says, people's opinions are opinions, especially on social media, where everybody's going to say what they think with no consequences and mostly negativity. I think our shows have been great. Really? the matches have been great, and we've done a good, great job of balancing storylines along these amazing matches. The most important thing we've been doing is building stars. If that's not the biggest piece of bullshit I've heard all
week. Who are these stars you've been building?
Who are the stars you're building?
Who are the
what
stars?
Storylines?
You know who could have been a big star in the past 6 months? Willow Nightingale, Action Andretti, who got a win over Jericho, and then we never fucking heard from him again.
Fumbled that one.
Keith Lee could, like we mentioned before, could have been going on a hot run right now with the Ring of Honor TV title.
They're gonna fuck Swerve up too.
I mean, but when you talk about storylines, like, I mean, does Swerve even really have a storyline?
No.
Other than is it Swerve or is it Prince Nana that y'all really just liking that whole situation? Him just dancing. Is that really the one? Because it seems to me Nana is the one that's over, not Swerve.
They should do a few matches where he doesn't come out with Nana and see for themselves.
I mean, they've been doing that with the Continental Classic and everything, man. But it's just, you know, it's so much this work rate. That's all they care about. Work rate, work rate, work rate. There's nothing, no story, nothing like that.
And the work rate only is involved with one person, and that's Meltzer. And for the most part, for the grander scheme of things, I want to believe that all three of us in this room right now are actually of the same age group. We don't give a flying fuck what Meltzer has to say about matches ratings anymore. We make up our own damn ratings at this point.
No, and to be fair to Dave Meltzer, because I've met him in person, worked on a project that he was a part of, and he's a very nice guy. He's very knowledgeable. Like he is genuinely, like, his worth and his value to the wrestling community should be immeasurable, because he's been there, done that, seen it. The thing that people get hung up on is the rating system. Mm-hmm. They get hung up on the stars, and he will be the first to tell you that the stars don't really fucking matter. Like, you got to actually read what he said about whatever match you're looking up. Mm-hmm. And you could disagree with whatever he's saying, but most, I would say 99% of people will just see the tweet about, oh, what did Meltzer give, you know, this... performance at Survivor Series or on this AEW pay-per-view.
And that's when the argument starts.
Yeah, they go, what? They gave this a 2, but he gave this a 5.5? Like, what? And they'll just start arguing. Meanwhile, I bet if you actually read a Meltzer review of that same match, you would probably be like, no, he's pretty on them. He's pretty correct on it. Like, but again, people get caught up in the stars and the ratings. And I guess the counter-argument to that would be, well, just don't do the stars in the ratings. But, you know, that's what gets people into the conversation. That's why
it's his gimmick.
That's why Siskel and Ebert did 2 thumbs up, thumbs down.
2 thumbs down, right.
I mean, it's his gimmick. You can't take that from him. That's his gimmick.
No.
He's gonna,
no.
Yeah.
But I think at this point, though, like, to say, like, at this point, we kind of like taking the charge on that too, to like develop our own system of match rating and all and everything.
Yeah, like I don't give it. Yeah, like I don't give a fuck what Dave rates a match.
I love you,
but I don't give a fuck if you gave something a 5. So because his definition of a 5-star match may be completely different from my definition of a 5-star match.
Right. Exactly, like, and that's my whole point at the same time too. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm saying, like, what you may have given a 3, I enjoy from beginning to goddamn end, and it could have been the most stiff ass match with little work rate possible. Like, I don't care if I was entertained. I was entertained by the
damn thing,
and that's the end of story. Like, today's match ratings don't move me. You know what I'm saying? So. But to sit over here and say that, you know, in terms of like Jericho, to say like, oh, it's always negativity. It's like, no, we're just calling a spade when it comes down to the product. Like your crowds, like it could feel a high school gym. You know what I'm saying? Like literally, you know, I'm not on a Saturday. I'm sorry. I'm watching. The Big Ten or SEC football. Like, I'm not watching Collision, bro. You know what I'm saying? So, because for one, storylines, like what Vin was saying earlier, what is a match without a storyline? I'm sorry, I'm not tuning in for that. I'm not intrigued by that. I'm not moved by that. You know what I'm saying? Like, there is sports entertainment and pro wrestling run one in the same, literally. They do not exist one without the other.
Yeah, and the proof of that is whenever AEW gets a little more sports entertaining, that's when people kind of perk up a little bit. Like, yeah. Why are people excited about Toni Storm? She's sports entertaining us right now.
Orange Cassidy,
very sports entertaining.
Yeah.
You know, like all the stuff that they were doing with Hangman and Kenny Omega. It was very sports entertaining at times with him and the Dark Order and, you know, their friendship and the will they, won't they stuff. Like, yeah. It was very sports entertainment. Nyla Rose, very sports entertaining. Like, it's not a secret. Like, it shouldn't be like this dirty word. Like, oh, well, they're being more like WWE. It's like, no, like WWE may have coined the word sports entertainment and put that like idea or that thought into the vernacular. But make no mistake about it. Like, for me to be the best well-rounded wrestler, you have to have that character element to you. Like, some people will try and make the argument that, oh, well, you know, I'm not even going to name names. Like, they'll be like, oh, so-and-so is the best wrestler going right now. And it's not even an argument. And I'll go, okay, but where's their character? Like, what's their most, you know, notable feud? They go, oh, well, you know, they had a match. They're like, no, I didn't say match. Like, their feud.
Yeah.
Like, show me the feud that they had.
That
built up to that match. You know, it doesn't need to be, like, a bunch of segments on TV. It doesn't need to be, like, New Japan. I love New Japan. They don't do TV in the same way that we do in America. And they do some pretty great character work when they want to. So, like, you know, you don't need a whole ton of TV time to do it. You just have to put it in with the time you have. It could be after matches. It could be in promos. It could be now, like, through social media. But you got to put it in there. Yeah. Like, the past year, I think he's been doing a lot, you know, he's been doing a much better job of this recently. But for a little...
I was ready to hear that.
One in the world right now.
Oh, we got it.
Can't be Will Ospreay.
Oh.
And
oh.
Yeah.
And they broke, like, up a little bit, Van, my bad.
No. You're saying, it's Will Ospreay.
Okay.
Like, it's got to be. And I would say, yeah, he's a great technical wrestler, but I don't know. Like, his storyline, like, I haven't seen, like, the feud that he's been in that's been, like, completely over the top. He's had a couple great rivalries with great in-ring work, but, like, now that he's going to be doing more in AEW this next year, I'd like to see him focus more on character work.
I mean that's a big problem I have with Jay White. Like, he's just there, you know. There's nothing like, and out in-ring work, Jay White is great, but it's like, you looking at him, it's just like, okay, you brought back Bullet Club, you Bullet Club Gold, and it's just Bang Bang Gang, all this shit, and there's just nothing else to it.
It's the same thing he was doing in New Japan, and that's lets you know, it's like, Jay White is not a character. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's not a character without Bullet Club.
Let me give you, so here's a prime example, like, of somebody who jumped ship. Lexus King. Mm-hmm. He actually has a fucking character now.
Yeah, he does.
It's still working on it. It's still trying to figure it out. And all
in
that,
the ring work. He's still
in the ring work. You got to get that better at that too. But presentation, interest, and all that shit, fucking fire.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and he's building it. He's building a character now. You know, he's an opportunist. He was like, hey, I didn't jump Trick Williams, but, you know, I made it to the pay-per-view to fight Carmelo Hayes.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it's looking like. They're turning into opportunities right now, and I like.
And just like this past week, he inserted himself into the breakout tournament, by hitting my man's in the back with the chair. Again, you know what I'm saying? That's character building. That's showing us a little bit who Lexus King is.
I mean, fuck it, look what they do with Von Wagner.
Yeah,
they're building. That's the all. And this is what I mean by AEW needs a booker. You need somebody who can focus 24/7 on booking and building characters. Tony Khan can't do it because he's running so much other shit. How are you writing and booking for two different, for Ring of Honor and AEW, and you're supposed to be running the Jaguars, you got a team overseas, all these other businesses. This is a classic case of him spreading himself thin.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. No, he's micromanaging. I think he needs to delegate more. He needs to have people that he can trust to streamline the entire process in AEW. And I think one of the things they should have done already is they need a performance center or a power plant or something that they can invest in where it's like, hey, we've got new people that we're signing. Let's invest in them. Let's give them good contracts, put them on our books, and invest in them because, you know, they're nothing right now, but we see something in these people we're picking up that we want them around 2 years from now, 5 years from now. And if we can pull that off, we'll have superstars, you know, hopefully for the next 10, 15 years. Yeah. Like they've got to start thinking a little more long term, because this idea of we're just going to sign people from the indies, it might work. Some of it's worked, but eventually you're always just going to come back to, okay, 2-3 years from now, we got to do a contract dispute. We got to re-up. Whereas if you get people from the ground up, you know, from a younger age, scout hot new talent, bring them in, mold them in your performance center to be AEW stars, I think there's a better chance of keeping people long-term. You're going to breed familiarity. You're going to be giving them money early and putting them in your system early enough that they're going to feel like you're investing in them and not just bringing them in as like the hot new hire.
Yeah. And that's my thing. And I complete, like, you took the words right out of my mouth on that. Like, because when I look at AEW talent, to be honest with you, and that's not all of them, you know what I'm saying? Like, we all know who does and who doesn't. They literally don't even look like they spend any time in a gym.
I'm sorry, there's a difference when I look at Adam Cole between Adam Cole and AEW and how they made him look in NXT. He looked, I'm not gonna say he looked jacked in NXT, because he was never like a big jacked guy.
He wasn't a big jacked guy, but he looked fit.
He looked like he was ready to fight. He looked like $1 million. He looked like a star, to be completely honest.
You know what I'm saying?
See him in AEW and he looks like a little anemic sometimes.
He looked crazy. And I understand, like, he's been injury, like, it seems like he's just been injury prone since he's been there. But like, when the last time you saw him, when which was Full Gear, when he came out, I mean if you told me he was a Twitch streamer, I'd be like, yeah, I totally believe that. Like, that was Chugs. That wasn't Adam Cole. Like, I'm like, no, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's just it just doesn't work, man. Like, it doesn't work. Like, you have to, if you call yourself a star, you have to look like a star. And it's like, and it seems like every single person that's looked like a star has either left or they don't get on TV. You know what I mean? Like Wardlow. Yeah,
I was just gonna say Wardlow. Like, yeah. Wardlow beat MJF like what, a year ago or whatever.
Man, you talk about dropping the ball, man.
Yeah, like, it was sent him away in a stretcher. And then because they wanted to, I guess, capitalize on what people were saying on the internet, had MJF come back like later that week in a neck brace, but he was like running around the ring yelling at Tony Khan. It's like, are you in a feud of Tony Khan or are you in a feud of Wardlow? And didn't Wardlow just beat you? Like, where's Wardlow? Like, what are we doing here?
I'll tell you the craziest thing they did with Wardlow. Wardlow was like, I don't want to be in the championship, like, battle royal. I'd rather just focus on this TNT title.
Yeah, that's crazy. That's crazy. That was crazy.
I'd rather fight Punk when he's healthy. I don't want to be in this. They could have made him. I don't know, man.
Wardlow was getting Goldberg pops.
Well, again, like it goes like, he's getting like, Goldberg like again, pops, it's like bro. We would rather not do a plan B than just wait something out. We'll have Wardlow wait until CM Punk gets back. Why? Like, he's hot now.
Like it's crazy.
Something to do.
It's crazy because they hadn't, like with the devil situation, they had no choice but to do a plan B because I already knew they were going to try to wait until Adam Cole gets healthy again and probably make him the devil, but they knew they couldn't do that. So
no, but now we're in a situation with the devil where I don't know who they could reveal it to be that would make anyone excited.
I'm sorry that Gabby's not here this week because she definitely was going to come bring that on the episode this week. I'm gonna let her hold it. I'm gonna hold it for her for next week. But I'm gonna hold it for her. But yeah, y'all continue. I just want to throw that out there.
No, it's
again,
just,
get better, Gabby. Get better.
Because who could it possibly be? Because you can't announce it's a new wrestler because people are just gonna be like, what? Like,
well, here we go again.
Like, who would you even announce that could be? And you know, okay, so it's leading towards it's probably Jack Perry.
Oh,
this point, it's like, okay, who the hell cares? So it's just another competitor for MJF. Like, it's not anyone who's really intricate to his storyline right now, like it would have been if it was Adam Cole. And then if it is Adam Cole, that I guess is the best option because it would be like, oh, I guess they fooled us. He's not really as injured as we thought he was. And he's playing this devil character, but still, I kind of don't really care if it's Adam Cole. Who's the devil? I don't know. I just would never have done this devil plot line to begin with because I just don't think there's any good way to pay it off.
It's retribution.
It's retribution. Because if it's Adam Cole,
it's Mustafa Ali.
Well, it might. Oh God! But like, assuming it was originally supposed to be Adam Cole, waiting this long to pull the trigger, and then having it be revealed to be Adam Cole, if they did that, I'm just gonna be like, it would have been much cooler if Adam Cole cost MJF a match.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'd just work it out in my head. Like, that's why I don't like the devil thing. Because there are already opportunities for him to betray him in front of 80,000 people in Wembley. And it would have been the biggest pop in the world because they all love Adam Cole. Mm-hmm. And they didn't do it. And they were like, see, we swerved you. We did the thing you didn't think we were going to do. It's like, no, sometimes doing the thing we expect is the right thing to do. Like, if I'm looking forward to eating a delicious steak dinner, when you give me the steak dinner, I'm going to enjoy it because I'm looking forward to it. Yeah. Like, just because you swerve me and bring me fucking fettuccine Alfredo of chicken instead, like, it's not going to make me happy just because I like both things. I'm going to be upset. If anything, I'm going to be upset because I was expecting steak and you gave me something that I didn't even ask for.
Yeah. Yeah, like again, and then it's just like how silly it was. I mean, y'all had them wrestle twice that night, two on top of that, then Adam Cole gets hurt. It's so much overbooking. Yeah, I just saw that AJ Styles is back and he helped out. He hit Roman with a phenomenal forearm and then him, Randy, LA Knight standing tall, and then he punches LA Knight.
Okay.
Yeah, and then he walks away. It's not like he's not joining the bloodline or nothing, but it looks like there's no allegiances no time soon for AJ Styles in this.
I wouldn't mind AJ Styles and LA Knight feud. I wouldn't mind that.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind that.
I wouldn't mind that either. I mean, it just seems like, you know, like maybe like everybody's not friends.
Yeah, give LA Knight a big win over AJ Styles. And then put put LA Knight into the US title picture and have him win at WrestleMania.
Yeah. I think that's what everybody's looking forward to. Like, they're looking for that that LA Knight Logan versus Logan Paul at WrestleMania type deal this go round, which would be good, which would be real good. I'll take that for night one. Well, yeah, that was that. But yeah, for sure. Like, you know, I didn't mean to cut into the conversation there.
It was a big thing.
Yeah. But yeah, like. Yeah, like the whole, yeah, like we were saying, the devil thing. I'm barely really watching AEW myself. Like, I'm more so, I watch AEW on the timeline, which is barely on the timeline these days, to be honest, at least on mine. It's not on my time. Like, I mean, for our podcast timeline, of course, that's where we follow most of the wrestling news and what's going on and everything like that. But that's the only reason I even know about this devil thing, really, because, you know, it never really truly intrigued me like that. It didn't really move me. But if you ask me if that's AEW's biggest storyline right now, yeah, it is. I mean, like, I don't really know what else is bigger than that at this, or, you know, right now, which is also, like, again, another chink in their armor over there, because you got that going on, but you can't get none of the mid-card things going on. I can tell you at least three mid-card rivalries right now in WWE. And when I say that, I'm not saying it as if, oh, it's always been perfect in WWE. Hell no. Absolutely not. I mean, me, myself, and I'm sure Vin and Ant can also attest to this when I say there are periods in time where WWE was completely unwatchable. You know what I'm saying? Unwatchable. Like, I'm like, yo, this shit sucks. You know what I'm saying? Like, going back to when you were bringing up, like, how Vince became literally a Ringling Brothers and Barney runner of the show in the back, where it was just like, yo, what is this? You know what I'm saying?
Do they do circuses anymore? Are circuses a thing?
I don't think circuses really, truly, really a thing. Get rid of them because of the whole
animal cruelty
part of it. You know what I'm saying?
The whipping elephants and shit. Maybe the Universal Soul Circus still going on?
I think it might be.
You know what? I remember those commercials because as a kid, you would see the commercials for the Barnum and Bailey Circus coming to town, and it'd be like the typical, and then like 5 minutes later you'd see like the Universal Soul Circus.
I remember going to one when I was a kid. I definitely went to one, a Universal Circus, before, and it was like in Shane Park, in downtown Detroit. I think that's where they used to do the Universal Circus, and for some reason, I feel like that still goes on. Maybe not since COVID, but I think it was still going on.
Packing everyone into a big tent.
To watch
wild animals.
Because I think, like, some of my friends who, like, got kids and stuff like that, like, you know, of course, like, you see them on Instagram or Facebook and everything like that, and they would have a story of them, like, taking their kids on a field trip there or something like that. But, yeah, I'm not sure, but that goes back to me saying, like, when Vince got mad Carney, and when it was just like, yeah, like, this isn't working for me. It's just too colorful. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is just not good television. Like, that's really what I feel right now with AEW. And the lack thereof also, in the sense of not making your women important either. You know, like, Toni Storm literally reinvented her character. And that she should be like,
hey man, look, that Timeless Toni Storm character.
Yeah. I mean, if Timeless Toni Storm was in WWE, bro, come on, man. Like, Lacey Evans would have been gone a long time ago if Timeless Toni Storm was in WWE.
Hey, man, but look, I had to look at this AJ Styles shit.
Yeah.
I was just watching everything, how he jumped Bloodline, and then he attacked the LA Knight.
I don't know if you
ever peeped in TNA when he went to that that loner gimmick he had, where you know
when he started getting emo and growing. Yeah, he started getting emo.
Yeah. I think that's where they're going with this shit right now, because
it looks because he got on some black pants and shit like that.
Yeah, it was a black. It reminds me of that, like you know what I'm saying, he jumped him, and then like you know when he clotheslined James Storm, he clotheslined like LA Knight just like that. Oh. So if they about to go back to that gimmick, oh man, that shit's about to be crazy.
Yeah. It'll be pretty good. I got to put my phone down. I was looking up the Soul Circus. I looked it up a commercial. It looks really fucking good. I was gonna see it today. They had like a fucking metal ball, and there's a guy in a motorcycle like riding around.
Yeah, ball. I remember that. Yeah, I remember. Universe Soul Circus is different. Yeah, it was almost, it was kind of like that. Like, it was like a hip hop show.
Yeah, hip hop under the big top.
Yeah, like it was crazy. I can't tell you like offhand, like exactly what happened when I went, because I was maybe 11 years old at the time.
But it's a lot better than like, I went to one circus in my life. And when I was like the third grade, we did a field trip. Yeah. And it was, even as a third grade, I was like, this is kind of lame.
Damn, you know what?
Clowns, like I hate clowns.
Yeah,
like,
I hate clowns.
But no, you know what's crazy? Our circus is stink right now.
That, well, you must have been looking at the AJ Styles.
I'm really thinking about that now that y'all mentioned that shit. Like,
but that's why I think like the Universal Circus. I think that was still going around.
The more traditional circuses,
like the Ringling Brothers, you know,
Barnum and Bailey. I think they done. I think the Animal Cruelty got them up out of there.
Yeah,
probably did. And then you know, we going down a rabbit hole right now. Now I'm thinking about the monster truck shows and shit, man. I know those.
No, the monster truck still. Those still going.
I'm like,
damn, Truckosaurus and
Grave Digger.
Fuck. Yeah, I used to remember Bigfoot back in the day too, man. That's a classic.
Bigfoot monster.
See, that's what happens when we start talking about Vince McMahon and shit. And you start
he fits all that carny shit.
But yeah, man, like, but I know usually we talk about like we do our, when we talk about This Week in Wrestling, we usually do our hot, cold, trending and everything like that. But I guess, you know, it's just a little different this time around. I want to ask you, Vin, real quick, like, what to you right now is like the hottest stuff right now?
What's popping,
Vin, right now?
It's popping me in wrestling right now. Honestly, NXT. Wow. I think NXT Deadline was some of the best wrestling I've seen all week. Mm. That last like 2 minutes of that. I always forget the name of the match.
Iron Survivor match.
Yeah. Like a new gimmick match. It works. It sounds a little convoluted, but when you see it in action, like it does work. Mm-hmm. And the whole thing at the end with Trick Williams, where it's like he gets all three in a row.
Oh my God, man.
Yeah, that was crazy. Yeah, that was crazy.
Man, I was talking to Larry Nelson, I think it was a Winston in there too. We were just talking. I'm like, damn. I'm like, yeah, I think Trick about to lose this. He just came out of fucking nowhere. And I'm like, yo. And the crowd went crazy. That's how you make a star.
That's how you make a star, and that's how you make a match. Like a match gimmick work. Because already I was sold on it last year. Like when they first did. I liked the Iron Survivor last year.
The one last year when Axiom
was whooping up, was getting into his Sin Cara bag. Absolutely. Like he was whooping JD McDonough ass in that penalty box. Like I was getting sold on it last year. And then like you kind of noticed, like, yeah, that was that pile around, right? Because you saw like how they moved, they actually moved the penalty box from where it was last year.
Yeah.
Last year it was like near the ramp.
Yeah,
this year they put it right next to the ring. So now I think they got it perfected now, because even with the men's, the women's was just as good. You know what I'm saying? Like the women's was like, that shit was a banger of a match.
And I also loved how Brian Breakker just came in, speared the fuck out of the
Oh my goodness. Yeah.
I thought he was going to win that shit after that one. And then like they built it so great. Like I thought Josh Briggs might have had it. Yeah. I thought fucking
and Briggs thought, and not to cut you off, Briggs made himself look like a damn a budding star. Like he looked like he's going to be something.
Oh, he got it's JBL for him, man. That clothesline he got. Oh, that clothesline, man. That clothesline is beautiful. Like it was that. I'm thinking Dijak about to win it. I mean, I thought everybody's about to win it, but I didn't think Trick was going to win it. And then Trick come out of nowhere and just.
Yeah.
I would even go so far as to say, like, even going back a couple weeks now, I cannot stress enough how much I love that they now do the War Games match as part of Survivor Series.
Yeah.
Because you talk about, like, the worst of recent WWE Survivor Series when they would do like brand supremacy, like everybody put on the red and blue shirts, like you know, guys who were just traded to SmackDown expected to be like, I love SmackDown, we gotta fight for the honor of SmackDown for some reason, like such bullshit. And then, like a week later, like nobody remembers anything.
Nobody remembers.
Yeah. Like the last time it was interesting like that was when they threw NXT in there.
Yeah, when they threw NXT in there, and when and of course, which is something to pay, like what Becky's doing right now, because literally with that, Becky was able to become the man. When she got hit in the nose by Nia Jax.
And I like that callback they're doing right now.
Yeah, and they're doing a nice callback to that. You know what I'm saying? So it's making their feud interesting. But I do agree. Like, yeah, the NXT insertion, what was that, 2019? Mm-hmm. I want to say. Yeah, that insertion, that's when it was – that's when I liked the brand supremacy. That was, like, the peak. That was it right there because – we wanted to see the NXT people go against main roster people at that
time. And you want to know who looked great during that men's match? Keith Lee.
Oh yeah, Keith Lee went, because that was Keith Lee and Roman, right?
Keith Lee looked fucking amazing.
And even just, Adam Cole, like
I think Adam Cole had that match with Butch because
Cause
think about it, you know, champion versus champion versus champion. Would you put Adam Cole in the ring with The Fiend and Brock Lesnar?
No.
Yeah, but now they do War Games, and it's like, great. It's like an evolution. It's almost like an evolution of the traditional Survivor Series
match. I kind of want to see Brock in a War Games match.
And it's factions.
Before it's all said and done, I want to see Brock in one of those matches.
I mean, Brock would have to be invited like how Randy was. Yeah. Like that's legit the only way I would see a Brock in a War Games match. Like if we get to see that before Brock, you know, hangs it up or whatever. Like
I at least want to. There's two matches I want to see him in. I want to see him in a fight pit, and I want to see him in a War Games match. I don't think we're gonna get that fight pit.
We ain't getting that fight pit.
I would have loved that fight pit match. I would have loved it, but yeah, we're never getting that one, man. Yeah. Unfortunately.
But yeah, I would like to see Brock in a War Games match, but it would have to coincide with like a faction war almost, so to speak. Like right now, you know, like we see that the Bloodline is soon to be over soon. So then next is going to be Judgment Day, but who's coming after the Judgment Day? You know what I'm saying? Like who's after that? Like I think War Games definitely works better with a faction's story being attached to it. Like
that's pretty much what it is faction wars. Like even when NXT was doing it, if you notice, it was always Undisputed Era in the War Games match.
And everybody else.
Yeah.
Like everybody else they got all their beef with.
Like that first War Game match that they had was fun. It was really fun with Damn Sanity and AOP and Roderick Strong when he had Roderick Strong had on the AOP fit too. Absolutely. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? It was just,
but yeah, so NXT is one of them things that's hot right now. Right now for you, Vin. I mean, it's I don't think I can leave without talking about. We finally got the face to face that we have been waiting for.
Yeah, CM Punk and Rollins, man.
CM Punk and Seth finally face to face, like. And not only that they were face to face, supposedly there was no script to this, apparently. So Like, how do we feel about that?
I don't believe that there wasn't a script.
Yeah.
There's no way they were just sent out there with no instruction whatsoever on what to do.
Yeah.
And, like, how to just go out there. We're not going to give you any time cues, nothing, like, no notes. Just go out there and do whatever.
No way. Yeah, I don't think so. I think it's maybe like 80-20. 80% was script. 20% was, throw a little seasoning on top. Throw a little of your own seasoning on top. Yeah. Because at the end of the day, I mean, it's like everybody has this idea in their mind that these two men hate each other. I really think it's a little more overblown than it looks, to be honest with you. Like, I really think that whatever differences they had is squashed. But is it easy for them to channel that former disdain they may have had or former issues they may have had in this? Yes, I do believe that.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, of course. And it works clearly in the art of the conversation that they were having in a ring during this face-to-face. Like, it worked perfectly, if you ask me. I think it was great that they had this face-to-face. I think Punk's promo on SmackDown prior to that, when he finally started mentioning names, was great. I think it's enough now to everybody to stop fishing for him to work shoot things. Like, that's not what this is.
We don't need it.
We don't need it. Uh-huh. We never need it in WWE. Like, we don't. Like, and you look at Cody, for example. You know him. You talk
about Kearney.
I mean, like, on top of the Kearney-ness, and yes, Cody, and deep into the Cody-verse now. I love it. I love where we're going. But with Cody, like, AEW was only came up, you know, maybe two times. And but outside of that, it's too much story there to talk about work shoot AEW stuff when it comes to people that came, that's coming from AEW. Like, it's too much history there. And you don't have to do that. You know what I'm saying? Like, so at this point now, it's really about everybody being on notice. I'm back. I'm on Raw. What's up? I want a main event WrestleMania. I want to win a Royal Rumble. And that's what it is. That's all we need there. We got enough. Bring on Philadelphia. Yeah. Bring it on.
Yeah.
You know,
bring,
like,
on Philly. So, bring on the cheesesteaks and the strip clubs.
Yeah, cheesesteaks, strip clubs. Definitely watch your pockets out there. You know what I'm saying? But yes, bring it on. Like, this is what we've been waiting for, and I'm really looking forward to seeing more from that. Now, I don't know if Punk is going to be on this next Raw. They are supposed to be in Iowa, which is Seth's hometown. So I think it's going to be more focused on Seth and Drew McIntyre.
Yeah, they got to get that out the way right now. And even after that shit, I don't even know what you do with Drew McIntyre after that. Probably save him for Sami Zayn or some shit. I don't know.
Well, I don't know. I think Sami, he got the torn meniscus right now, so I think
he took a leave of absence. He just
I think if this torn meniscus is probably
it's kayfabe.
Yeah, I know he wanted some time off, so which is perfectly fine, you know. Yeah, going into the holiday, you know, because going into the holiday, they really about to, like, chill a little bit anyway, you know, double taping and stuff like that. So,
and you know what, it got me thinking as to why they did that injury angle with Ilya, because, you know, he probably wanted to go back home to his family anyway. So
yeah, he probably wanted to see his son and everything.
Probably gave some extra time or something, you know.
Yeah, probably so. We see Punk. He's backstage damn near every show right now. I don't know if he's backstage at SmackDown tonight, but, you know, he's definitely running around kissing babies, doing the same shit Cody was doing when he got back. So, the face-off was great. Cody and Nakamura, yes. Yes.
Peak.
Yes.
Peak sports entertainment, man. The way he sold that mist. He sold that mist.
Yes. Yes. That's all. Yes. More. The Creed brothers are involved. More. Yes.
Hey, man, look, the Creed brothers came and saved our truth and took out four of Judgment Day by themselves.
They did this twice in one show. Yes, give me more. Give me more of those Steiner Creed brothers.
I'm just curious right now where this Cody shit is going to go, man. Like, I'm curious what his next feud is going to be. Like, who he's going to do this Kearney shit with this next feud, man?
I don't know.
I'm thinking
the story, though.
You know what? Yeah. With this AJ shit, it might be AJ Styles because you know he's probably going
AJ to SmackDown.
But Cody's about to go to SmackDown. You know he's going.
You mean like after? Okay, so
yeah.
So I mean, like, okay, yeah, because like, come on, man, like we know Cody and Punk, literally the Royal Rumble is surrounded around those two,
okay. And honestly, that's AEW's biggest match. is Cody yeah, still Punk?
It kind of is.
That's their biggest match, dog.
And it's happening in WWE. But good lord! But the thing is like, okay, like we know. But in terms of like their paths, they're going to be quite different. You know what I'm saying? Like, we both know that these two guys are your main event WrestleMania guys.
Well, I think Punk's going to win the Rumble and Cody's going to win Elimination.
Win the Chamber.
Yeah.
Like, I think that's where we are. Because for some reason, I mean, again, like, we always have these jokes when it comes to Cody. It's Jesus, give me harder battles. Like, literally. So yeah. Cody has to go through the gauntlet to get to Roman.
I mean, the gauntlet with Brock was just insane, man. That was an insane.
Well, this is Cody Rhodes, man.
Yeah.
It's going to get even more crazy on the way, bro. It's going to get crazy on the way.
Oh, God, man. So, you know what? Braun Strowman. I can see him doing a few with Braun Strowman.
I don't want it to happen.
The crowd loves Braun Strowman, so it's like
they love that big goof, man. Yeah. They love that big goof.
Now, what's his cat? Get these yams, whatever he says.
You can get these hands.
Get these hands.
Drew McIntyre. Drew McIntyre could be the next one. Like, yeah. I mean, Drew McIntyre after this, not since, like, we got a ways to go. Let's see, Royal Rumble's the end of January, then we got Elimination Chamber in February.
Yeah, you know,
Cody, it's a lot of weeks,
man, and Cody's gonna go between the gauntlet and that shit too. He's gonna be the first person in there too, and he's gonna go through the gauntlet on that too.
Yeah, like, he's gonna go the full mile, man. He's going the mile. He wants the hardest battles.
Somebody's gonna throw him off the top of the Elimination Chamber, and then he's gonna
moonsault off the top.
Yeah, do a moonsault.
He's crazy.
Yeah, he's gonna do something crazy. He's gonna kick out at two. Like, we know this is Cody Rhodes, man. Cody is a showman. Cody is just like his daddy. He's probably going to end up getting his hand broken or some shit like that. They're going to end up fighting for Roman at the title. We know what's going to happen, man.
It's going to be a lot. It's going to be too much. But, I mean, I really don't want to – I don't really need to too much talk about, like, what's cold and everything like that. I mean, hell, we kind of spent a whole lot of time when it came to AEW talking about what is completely dead cold going on and wrestling right now. But I do want to there was this a bit of news, like, for Kenny Omega. You know, there's a get well soon.
This is very unfortunate. This is unfortunate.
Yeah, he's diverticulitis is the
Brock Lesnar.
The prognosis, you know, the diagnosis on Kenny Omega now.
What's that? Is it the neck thing?
No, it's a gastric. The same thing. It's the same exact thing that took Brock Lesnar out of UFC. It was like, it's like a intestinal disease.
Yeah, it's
yeah. Man. So, and that took Brock Lesnar out of UFC. That's why pretty much what kind of brought him back to WWE. And in terms of like it being curable, I'm not so sure about that. Like, I'll have to do some Googles on that and everything. As far as I know, I don't think it is, but
it's definitely,
it's very unfortunate. And, you know, for someone like Kenny Omega, again, who's literally dealt with injury after injury after injury, and then now here it is, a health concern, like, it's pretty unfortunate. So definitely a good Wilson. So he's out indefinitely now. So there's no telling when he will be back from that, but definitely well wishes for Kenny Omega. Hopefully that may give him time to help book the women better in AEW.
Yeah.
Please. you know. So, but on top of that, just get better, dude. But other than that, man, I don't know if I don't think we got anything else for this week. But Vin, like, again, like we thank you a lot for coming on and giving.
Oh,
like,
thank you for inviting me.
Your analysis and your knowledge and everything like that. Do you got anything on the way? Or
I guess just follow, if people want to support what I'm doing, subscribe to Oddball. I recently started the YouTube channel where I post the full episodes, so that's probably the number one way to help is go subscribe, youtube.com/@oddballpodcast.
Yes.
And, you know, other than that, you know, if you want to listen on Spotify or Apple, it's on there, obviously, and then WrestleRap, same thing. It's wherever you get your podcasts from. But if you want to just follow me, I'm on Twitter, @MightyVin, on Instagram, @VinforteNYC. And, yeah, all the relevant links will be in the bio on those two accounts.
Yes, sir. And also, if you want someone to talk to Vin, like, live, you can also find Vin in the Union Discord.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I'll pop in there.
Yeah, our Discord that Vin always joins us for live watches and just regular shit talking on a, you know, on a football Sunday or whatever the hell. Sometimes Vin falls asleep in there, and then we
well, because you're up at like 1 a.m.
Yeah.
But Vin is a whole lot of fun, man. He always brings really good entertainment and good analysis in the Discord at the same time too. But yeah, again, Vin, we thank you for coming on. Uh-huh. And really appreciate it. We want to do this again for sure too. Have you back on.
Yeah, let's do it.
And you anything coming up? Oh, congrats. 1 year. FKU.
Man, boy, I appreciate that, man. Yeah, that took a minute, but we here. The video episode will be dropping soon for that. I don't know if anybody listened to it, but the reactions of when I had the different liquors in the boxes and shit like that, and people were pulling out 1800 and the white Hennessy. Oh, so that was fun, man. And also going to announce that MKU will be having a Patreon as well. We are bringing MKU After Dark. So that's going on. That's going on the Patreon, and we got something we're working on called Industry Plan, that's going to be on the Patreon as well, where we're going to discuss different industry, what we feel is different industry plans in the industry.
Cool. That's gonna be fun. And speaking of Patreon, in case y'all been living under a damn rock or whatever, we have a series that was already announced previously, but I have a series. We're starting a docuseries by the name of Icon. Icon will be a series started on Mid-Carters and Catering Patreon. The first series is going to be Shawn Michaels. I have this getting ready. I'm putting this together. It's kind of a passion project of mine. So I'm getting this together. It's going to be a 3-part series. It is coming soon to the Patreon, so be on the lookout for that. Yep. Should be getting episodes on the way, episodes getting recorded, all types of stuff. I've been hard at work on this, so we got a few people involved in that. Nelson, Gabby, and Larry, all three of them people involved in this. So it's going to be really, really great to do this as well too. So be on the lookout for that. And more Turner Truthers is on the way. Good Lord.
I can't wait till we drop the Mike Awesome. You watch that shit? Oh,
Mike Awesome.
Mike Awesome and Masato Tanaka.
ECW?
Nah, man. We watching the ECW. Yeah, okay. We watching ECW matches, man, where you doing like the power bombs to the table. They just power bombing each other to the table. Yes. Oh, man. And yes, like, man, Winston never seen a Mike Awesome match like this. He was thoroughly pleased, man. I'm like, yeah.
Real
violence.
Yes. That's all I can say. Yes.
We got that. We're gonna like the next one we're gonna do because we gotta finish up the WCW 2000, but we're gonna do the Sabu versus Terry Funk in the barbed wire match.
Oh wow.
Yeah. That's just a cream of the crop of things that's on the way for the Patreon. Remember, you can sign up $3. $3 is all we're asking for. It's already hella content on there right now as we speak.
A lot of WCW 2000.
Good Lord. So, but more to come, of course. But with that being said, also be ready next week live on YouTube, live on Facebook, live on Twitch, Mid Carter's year end 23. Let's get it. Let's talk.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And with that being said, we out of here.
Mm-hmm.
Peace.
Yes, sir.